Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Brian Lehrer, WNYC. Were you listening a few weeks ago when we had a conversation about the rise and fall of the Korean deli, a once ubiquitous icon of the immigrant-run small business in New York? We heard about how they were easy to start, requiring very little capital with a quick cash turnaround to make good profits. The business was easy to jump into and became a model for Korean families who wanted to be their own boss and have a better life for their children. Aside from being a vulnerable business, open late in some of the city's most dangerous neighborhoods, owning a Korean deli was close to ideal. But nearly none of that turned out to be true for our next guest. Ben Ryder Howe is the author of My Korean Deli, Risking It All for a Convenience Store, about running a deli with his wife and his in-laws for 2 years in Borough Hill, Brooklyn, and he joins me now. Welcome to WNYC.
Thanks for having me. It's great to be here.
You're not Korean, are you?
No. I grew up in Boston, and that's where my family's come from for a long, long time.
So how'd you get into the Korean deli business?
Well, in 2002, my wife, who is Korean, she and I had been living in Brooklyn for a couple of years, and we moved to Staten Island to live in my mother-in-law's basement. The idea was to do this temporarily. Our lease had run out, and we were going to stay there while we looked for our next apartment. But while we were there, my wife decided that she wanted to buy a store for her mother. Her mother had been working at convenience stores for a long time, but had not owned her own since they came to the United States. So the idea was we would buy a store for them with the money that we had saved up for our own next apartment, and then once we would set up the store and help them out for a few months, and then get that money back. The store would pay us back over a few months, and that was the plan going in.
And that's a very good deed for your mother-in-law. There are grocery stores and delis all over New York City, of course. So how do you even begin to start looking for one to buy? What do you look for?
Well, we looked at probably 40 or 50 stores all over the city in almost every borough. And you know, as anybody who's lived in New York knows, there are lots of different kinds of convenience stores, small or big, you know, focusing on different crowds during different times of the day. You know, we looked at a lot and it was a real struggle to find the one that we could agree on. The one that we ended up with was a store that had been around for a couple of decades. It was on a corner. It was small. It was sort of a bodega. It wasn't big enough to be, I think, a classic bodega. You wouldn't walk out with more than one or two bags of groceries. But it had a lottery machine. It had a big business in sandwiches. It sold a lot of beer by the, you know, just by the can and a paper bag, and a lot of junk food. And it was that kind of store.
It's a convenience store.
It was a convenience store
in Borough Hill.
Yeah.
So in buying a store which already existed, you also inherited a group of faithful customers, complete with regulars who knew the deli better than you did. What did you learn about how people care about their New York deli?
I mean, you know, the question I had right away was, do we own the deli or does the deli own us? I mean, the neighborhood felt, you know, very strongly about this particular store. It had a long history. You know, people had spent their lives going there. And it was one of those stores that had a bench outside in the summertime where people could sit around. It had a bottle cap opener by the door. It had a TV that, you know, was sort of facing the customer so that, you know, you were encouraged to come in and join in watching whatever was on TV at that particular time.
We can have a few minutes of the Korean Deli Owners News Conference. Listeners, anything you always wanted to know about owning a Korean deli but had no one to ask, you now have Ben Ryder Howe, author of My Korean Deli, Risking It All for a Convenience Store, 212-433-WNYC, 212-433-9692. So people feel a strong sense of ownership over their local corner deli. Then there's the coffee. You change not only the brand, but also the price to 75 cents from 65. What's the switch? Why do you decide on a new brand?
Well, the coffee that we had when we got there was just, you know, it was deli coffee. And, it, you know, everybody knows what deli coffee tastes like. You know, some people prefer it, you know, and I go through phases where I like deli coffee. And at that particular time, I just wanted coffee that tasted a little bit, you know, more like, you know, just the way I think coffee should, you know, maybe more like Starbucks or something. So we changed the coffee and had to raise the price a little bit. I think the price of the coffee there had been the same for you know, years and years and years. People, you know, they noticed little changes like that.
This did not go over well, even though you were trying to make an improvement.
No, and even, you know, my mother-in-law, who was the manager of the store, even she, you know, disapproved. She wanted to go back to the old coffee, but you know, people change his taste.
And then there's the competition. Tell us about Sonny's.
Well, there's, you know, on that particular corner, it's not one of those corners where they have, four, you know, a deli right across the street. The nearest deli was a good walk away. And that was, you know, that was the kind of deli that when I came in, I thought we would make this one into, because it had more groceries. It had the kind of, you know, handmade and organic and imported products that you know, and as opposed to, you know.
It's what we've come to call a gourmet deli.
Right.
And it was kind of a hipster deli too, right?
Well, it was, you know, that neighborhood had a lot of young people who seemed to prefer all the, you know, their products. They weren't coming to our store for groceries. They were going to the neighboring store, and I was intensely jealous.
So Sonny's is maybe the deli of gentrified Brooklyn. Do you think there's a place for your kind of deli still in a borough of sorbet and sourdough?
Yes, that was the thing that I didn't see coming, was that, you know, we didn't want to, you know. Nobody wants to gentrify a neighborhood. Nobody sees themselves doing that. And in our particular case, we thought that Ballroom Hill had already been gentrified. But you know, we came in and we found that there was plenty of people still coming to our store for things like lottery tickets and snack food and just regular old American beer.
Ben Ryder Howe, author of My Korean Deli, Risking It All for a Convenience Store, and Francine in Bay Ridge. You're on WNYC. Hi, Francine.
Hi, how are you?
Okay, thank you.
Good. I had immediately, when I started thinking about the Korean store, I immediately started visualizing what happened during the Rodney King riots in L.A., when there was a lot of stores catching on fire and there was a lot of boarded-up stores and vendors fleeing. I mean, obviously, that's an extreme case. There was quite a few non-black deli store owners and store owners who were actually scared for their lives. Did you ever, maybe not personally, but me, I don't know about this particular story, or had you have stories about Korean deli owners or staff that have experienced racism or pushback from mm-hmm. non-Korean communities and customers?
Thank you for your call. Did your mother-in-law, who's visibly Korean, experience that, or your wife?
No. What I know, you know, when I moved to New York, that period in the city's history had just come to an end. And, you know, all I heard from, you know, from my wife's family and from other Korean Americans was an intense desire to move past that and make sure that they were seen as good citizens.
Bob in Woodside, you're on WNYC. Hi, Bob.
I was wondering, because in all the years I've lived in New York, I've never seen the word sale in a Korean deli. Do you know what the word sale is in Korean?
I don't.
Well, they would post it in English anyway. But I think there's a serious question behind that, which is convenience stores, I presume, work on a pretty small profit margin. And so you don't see a lot of sales like you would see in a big supermarket. You're not putting this product on special one week and that one on special another week.
Right.
But you don't see sales, markdowns in convenience stores of any kind very much.
No. I mean, we wouldn't have done that. You know, we didn't sell a lot of groceries. One of the problems that our store faced was that it didn't really have a lot of storage space, and So I can't imagine what we would have put on sale. But yeah, I mean, I think that, you know, that's for stores with a lot more capacity.
How much money can you make owning a Korean deli?
I'm sure there are stores that have been very successful, and you know, I can think of a couple that look like they're doing well. But the profit margins are small. Like any small business, they don't stay open for 24 hours because they're making hand over fist. I mean, it's because they have to.
Mondays are always slow, and you cite one day shift where you make $66 in a whole hour. That's not even the profit. That's just the revenue, just $66. So what's the balance in working in a deli? How aware are you of the ebb and flow and for preparing yourself against days like a Monday?
Well, I mean, like with any cash business, you know, you have a it's sort of like being watching your heart monitor or something. You can see how you're doing every single day, and it can be really tough. It's very stressful that way. And what you can do to prepare for those bad days, after you've been in business for a few years, you know things like which days of the week are good or bad, you know. Which day of the week, you know, deliveries tend to come on throughout the city, and summertime is always the best time to be in business. It slows down in winter, but I'm not sure what you could do to prepare for those days.
You got caught selling tobacco to a minor.
I did.
What happened?
Well, it was a shift change. Shift changes are always the busiest time. And I, at that point, we had owned the store for, 9 months. And I was the worst cashier ever when we started, and I thought I'd gotten pretty good at that point, and I thought I had that, you know, the ability to kind of, that kind of omniscience that a really good cashier has. You can sort of sense what's going on all over your store. And but a shift change is busy, and New Yorkers are impatient, and there's a movement afoot to make sure that all customers are ID'd when they buy tobacco. And I think most convenience store owners would support that, because the way it is now, you kind of have to take your chances. And, you know, no cashier ever cards everybody. I mean, you're not going to card the person you've been selling cigarettes to for 20 years or somebody who, you know, who's visibly, you know, 60 years older than that age.
And I'm curious how threatening you found the whole experience. You write about a robbery which turned violent. There are customers who, you know, are thuggish. How dangerous was it at the deli? And for you, coming from a very educated background, working for Paris Review, George Plimpton said this would be great fodder for your writing. How did you deal with standing behind the counter with threatening customers?
You know, it's weird, because when we first started the business, I didn't think about that very much at all. I mean, you know, New York has become such a different city that you know, you take the security risks less seriously than you'd think. We got robbed at the very end of our experience there by a couple of guys who came in on bicycles and held us up with BB guns. And then, which was obviously terrifying when it happened, but... The other than that, you know, in 2 years, we had small things happen, shoplifting, that kind of thing. But, you know, from day to day, you don't security is not constantly on your mind, because it's just not that day.
So ultimately, 6 years ago, you decided to sell the deli. We have 30 seconds left. Do you look at them differently now that you're back on the other side of the register?
I do. I have a great appreciation for the importance of delis and business convenience stores and the history, the overall makeup of New York City. It's a great stepping stone business for the immigrants.
Ben Ryder Howe is the author of My Korean Deli, Risking It All for a Convenience Store. Thank you so much.
Thanks for having me.
Brian Lehrer, WNYC. Stay with us.